Amen. Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, Pastor Shelley and Mrs. Shelley. It's great to see my daughter, and that's pretty much it. No, my grandchildren, my son-in-law, and my good friends that have traveled from near and far. And I just appreciate you coming out to hear me preach this morning. And it's great to be back. And I love Steadfast Baptist Church. And my church loves Steadfast Baptist Church, loves Pastor Shelley and his preaching. And again, very thankful to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting us. And I wanted to announce, Dylan said it was okay, that Jasmine is with child again. So I'll have grandchild number 6 on the way. So praise God for that. So I was telling some people last night at the hotel, I went down to print my sermons off, and there's like hockey leagues going on or something. And I got to talking with them anyway, and I just told them that I had 5 grandchildren, and they're like, "You're too young to have 5 grandchildren." I said, I know I am. But at least I'll be young enough to play with them right as they grow older. So anyway, I'm thankful for that. But the title of the sermon this morning is Going, Getting, and Giving Counsel. Going, Getting, and Giving Counsel. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the great crowd tonight, this morning, and we pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit as I preach your word. And Lord, I pray that the people would have ears to hear what the Spirit says unto the church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the reason I'm preaching this is because it's important to know who to get counsel from. So if you're going to go get counsel, make sure you're getting your counsel from the right resources. Now, I don't want to say that you can't ever go to the world for certain advice. If you want to know how to fix your car, it's okay to go to a mechanic and find out what, you know, if you don't want to pay for the mechanic, at least pick their ear and find out. You can get worldly wisdom that can help you. But mainly what I'm talking about is going to get counsel from godly people. If you're a Christian, you know, and you're going to get life lessons from people or wisdom from people or wisdom from God, it should be from those types of people. It shouldn't be just some worldly person or your unsaved relatives and things like that. So we're going to talk about going to the right people and then getting that counsel. Once you've gone to someone for counsel, you got to receive that counsel. Because a lot of times people don't receive the counsel. They go to people for counsel and then they just say, yeah, and just don't do it, right? And then also when you're giving counsel, make sure that someone's actually asking you for that counsel or you've actually asked them for permission to give that counsel to them. Because a lot of people are know-it-alls. They just want everybody to know what they know. But, you know, you don't always have to tell everybody everything that's on your mind. And some people don't even want to hear what's on your mind. So anyway, that's kind of the reason I wanted to preach about this, because I've noticed that sometimes people don't go to the right people. And sometimes I notice people don't receive that counsel once it's been given to them. And I've noticed also that people like to give a lot of advice that they shouldn't be giving. And also, you know, it is okay to give people like a reproof or a rebuke or something like that. But I'm talking about, you know, if you think that maybe you could help manage someone's marriage better than they can or something, you know, wait for people to ask you for that kind of advice. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. So what is counsel? Counsel is to get advice and to gain knowledge to help in decision making and living your daily life. And so that's, you want to go to knowledge to the right places, you know, and especially in an area where you're not sure what to do, because there's a lot of things, you know, the Bible has all the answers, but sometimes knowing what path is the right path isn't always as easy. So, but God's going to help you with those things. And if you have a good resource of people you can go to, that's always a great thing too. So, you know, who to marry? What job should I take? What church should I go to? What about medical advice? Should I move? How should I raise my kids? How should I manage my finances? These are all things that people have problems and issues with it. And you need to know who to go to, when to receive it, and when to give that kind of advice. So number one this morning, going to counsel from the right people. Let's look at our verse number 5 in Proverbs chapter number 1. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So you're going to go and attain knowledge from people, and you got to go to the right sources. And the number one person that we can go to is God, of course. You know, I mean, if you want to get wise counsel, the wisest counselor you're ever going to find in this life is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And so he is the wisest counsel we can get. And where do we get that counsel from? We can get it from this book right here. We can get it from the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, if you're an English-speaking person. And the Reign of Valera Gomez, 2010, if you're a Spanish speaker. You know, people like to accuse us of just only, you know, we think that the King James is like some, you know, thing that we worship or something. Well, I mean, we worship the God that wrote it. And it is his word, is it not? And so who's the best person we can go to get counsel from? We can get it straight from the mouth of God, which is poured into this book right here. And so the Bible says we don't need anybody to really teach us. You know, the Holy Spirit can guide us in all things. But at the same time, there is time to get counsel. So, and God would be the best person to get it from. It says a wise man will hear. You know, it's not just about hearing, but it says, and will increase learning. So when you learn it, you have to also apply the learning that you get. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so what does that word attain mean? It means to reach. You're going to reach unto, attain unto these wise counsels. And so it's important for us to go to people for counsel when we need it. And the number one person we can go to is God himself through the Bible. So it's like literally going to the mouth of God. You know, you think about people that went to the Lord to hear from the mouth of the Lord things, like they went to the prophets in the Old Testament a lot of times. Even Saul, when he went to go, he said, hey, let's go talk to Samuel. You know, he's going to help us find my father's asses that are lost in the wilderness. I mean, it's just a simple thing like that. But obviously, you know, I don't know where you lost your cattle. So, you know, you're going to have to go to God for those kinds of things. And you're just going to have to help him guide you, you know, somehow, you know, maybe teach you how to be a cowboy or something. I don't know. Anyway, so turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 14. The Bible says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So God here is saying that he, you know, this to get this sound wisdom, he is understanding. God is the one that's going to help you understand. And sound means basically that it's based on reason, sense, or judgment. So to get sound wisdom is to get reason, sense, and judgment. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Verse number 20, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 20. It says, have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? So God has written to us what? Excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so look, if you go to God for your counsel, you know what? His word is going to be there for you. And what's it going to do? It's going to be a lamp unto your feet. Hey, what pathway should I go on? Well, maybe you should go on the way that God tells you to go instead of going where you want to go. And it says, and a light unto my path. Who's ever been camping in here before? Brother Scott just got done camping. He was telling me about it. And he was the only one there. You know, I guess people are afraid of getting COVID in the woods or something. But anyway, so, but look, when you're camping, it's nice to have a good flashlight, isn't it? When you're walking down a path without a flashlight, it's pretty scary. And walking in this world without God's counsel is a scary place. And even in 2021, it's even more scary. I mean, we're not even that far into it, and things are even getting worse than they were last year. So it's important to have God's word as a light to our path and to a lamp for our feet. Hey, where do we want to walk? Where God wants us to walk. Right. That's ultimately the counsel that we need is from God. Now, another source of counsel that we can get is from friends. Now, some people don't have any friends. And I'm going to preach a sermon about friendship tonight. Maybe you can learn to get some friends. I don't know who has friends in here or not, but you guys are all my friends if you love the Lord. And you're good people. So, but I'm going to teach about friendship tonight. So please come back tonight and listen to that. But friends can be a good resource for counsel. Now, let me just say this. Friends that are not saved, probably not a good resource for living a godly life. Friends that are not saved are not a resource for having a godly marriage. Because if we're like the world, then our marriages are going to get destroyed. If we marry like the heathen marry, our marriages are going to get destroyed. If we do the things that the world does, we're going to have a hard time, you know, walking the path that God wants us to walk, and instead of walking the path that our friends want us to walk. And obviously, I believe our friends should be godly. And again, I'm going to cover that tonight, but turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 9. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now, guys, we read that and we're like, man, that's kind of foo-foo-y, isn't it? Hey, it's God's word, though. And it says the sweetness of a man's friend. Hey, it's good to have good friends that care about you, and they're going to try to give you counsel that you need to hear. You know, a good friend is going to tell you what you need to know and not what you want to know. They're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. And it's, so it's good to surround yourself with friends that will give you hearty counsel. What does hearty mean? Well, it means like heartfelt, like they actually care about you. It's good to go to a friend that actually cares about you, right? Because we've all had friends that really don't care about us that much, right? They're like, you know, fair weather friends. When everything's going good, they're your friend. But when everything's going bad, or they're the type of friends that talk behind you behind your back. So we don't want those types of friends to be in our circle of counsel. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace there is joy. So there is these types of counselors that are counselors of peace. They're going to help you and try to get your life peaceful. And to be a counselor of peace is a good thing. But look what it says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. So there's people in our lives that might not, they might seem like they're friends, but they're not really friends. You know, I call them frenemies. You ever heard of that term, frenemies? Anyway, there's people in our lives that, hey, you gotta be discerning and know what friends to go to counsel for and which ones not to. So, see, there's also other people that we go to for wisdom and for counsel. Pastors, your pastor is a good resource to go to for godly counsel. And you know what I would expect the pastor to give you? Godly advice from the Bible. And so if you're looking for your pastor to tell you what you want to hear, and as I know Pastor Shelley, he's not the type of pastor who's just going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. Yeah. And so, you know, your pastor can be your friend and your resource in that way. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, go ahead and turn there. I'm trying to make it easy for you so you can just really navigate it quickly, because the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about getting wisdom and getting counsel. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, you know, if you never go to people for counsel, if you never go to God for counsel, you're going to fall. That's what the Bible says, right? But it says, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, hey, maybe you should check with a couple different people. You check with the Bible, obviously, as your number one resource. And maybe some good close friends that you trust their counsel. And maybe you go to your pastor. And, you know, some decisions are hard. They really are. You know, my daughter just had to have gallbladder surgery taken out, and she was wrestling with the decision of whether to actually get it taken out or not, or go the natural route. So, but going the natural route when your gallbladder is filled with stones, once it's to that point, I mean, it's pretty hard to apple cider vinegar that thing and clean it out the way it should be, all right? So, so she tried, but it was too far gone. So ultimately, she had to make the decision. And you know what I counseled her to do? Get it out. Because if you can live without it, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, it's obviously best to have a gallbladder that works. But her mother, you know, 20 years or 17 years ago, had to have the same procedure. And they said it was the worst gallbladder they'd ever seen. And so then Nia decides to share us a picture of a gallbladder being cut open. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have my breakfast right there at the table at the time. But like when you see a gallbladder cut open and you see all those stones, it's pretty gruesome. And at that point, the apple cider vinegar is not going to help you. I can just tell you that right now. So she was wrestling with it for weeks and trying to make this decision because she wanted, nobody wants to have surgery. But sometimes we need to go to other people for advice and find out what the wise thing to do is. And of course, she finally listened to her dad and she was wise in doing so obviously there's a risk in everything that we do. So sometimes we have to risk those decisions for the best decision, which is unfortunate. But anyway, so the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So, if you're just thinking about like a well, and you got to get that bucket all the way down to the bottom of this deep water to get, what are you trying to get? Something that's going to help save your life, right? Something that, water is something that we really need. I'm thirsty right now, so I need a deep well. I got some water here, so I'm good. Yeah, you can bring me another bottle if you want or something. I'll try not to knock it off on anybody or anything like that. So, once I started talking about water, my mouth just got super dry. Thank you. So anyway, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. So there are some counsel that you can get out of man that is going to give you understanding. A man of understanding is going to draw that out, and you're going to attain to that wise counsel. So turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. The Bible says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So when you're talking about war, obviously, we war a different type of warfare as Christians. But how do we do that? Well, we get wise counsel. Just think about how much planning there has to be for soul winning. Some people just show up, they get a map, they go out. But, there's a council that goes on in this church for war to take place. And hey, what are we doing? We're trying to conquer this land for God in a spiritual way. So when we go to, if you apply it spiritually, when we go to war, hey, it's good to have a multitude of counselor. There is safety in the if you just think about people in real war, in general war. They have a security council for like the president. They have councils for all these different war departments, and there's a reason why, because you don't always see all the angles. So when you're making a decision for yourself that's a serious decision, you want to be able to see all the angles, and sometimes we want what we want, right? We want to do this, but we're wise enough to say, hey, maybe I'm not seeing this all correctly. Maybe I need to look at this with some other points of view. And it's good to have those that we trust that we can go to in big decisions. Now, obviously, whether you go to work tomorrow or not, hey, should I go to work tomorrow or not? Yeah, you should go to work tomorrow, okay? That's not a hard thing to figure out. Now, if you have COVID, maybe that's a decision you need to make differently. But I'm just saying that not everything needs some type of deep counseling to go to, right? But we should go when we feel like you're unsure about the decision, or maybe you just want to get a second point of view. Now, who to not go to for counsel? Who do you not go to for counsel? Again, unsaved friends, unsaved family members, false prophets. If all you do is sit around and watch false prophets all the time to find out how false they are, you don't want to get your counsel from people like that, right? You don't want to get your counsel from, hey, should I go to this church or not? The guy doesn't even go to church. Like, why would you ask a person that doesn't go to church whether that you should go to this church or not? Yeah. Why do you listen to your parents or your family members when they say, your church is a cult? Don't go to that church. That's bad advice. Yeah. Because you're getting that from a person that's not saved. And then, some people are just like, well, am I really in a cult? You know you're not in a cult. Cults don't kick 95 people out in 1 year, all right? 100, okay. Excuse me. But look at the building's filled with people. And why? Because, the bad people got to get kicked out. And so don't go to the world for your advice on what to do with church. Don't go to your friends, your unsaved friends, about different types of advice, and definitely don't go to false prophets. Don't go to your family members. Don't go to your parents that don't spank to ask whether you should spank. Who would you go to first? The Bible, right? What does God say to do? Thou shalt beat, right? Thou shalt beat. Now, I'm not saying child abuse, because people take that word beat. You know, if you do this, it's beating, right? It doesn't have to be like with a sledgehammer, you know? Even though sometimes, no, I'm just kidding. So, you know, for marriage advice, you'd want to go to the person that has a rock-solid marriage. Or your pastor. They should be an example of a good marriage in the church. So, hey, if you're having marriage problems, don't be too ashamed to go to someone with your marriage problems that could help you. You know, but who are you going to go to? The person that got married 2 weeks ago? I mean, you're still figuring things out, right? You're still leaving the toilet seat open. Guys, you know, you get woken up a couple times with that one. That's not good. So, yeah, don't go to the people that are newly married for your marriage advice. Go to people that have been married for a long time or they are rock solid in their marriage. And, you know, not like the person that's been married for 5 minutes. So don't ask divorced people for marriage advice. And look, I'm not against divorced people. I'm not trying to like harp on people that have been divorced before. But I'm just saying if you didn't do it right the first time or it failed for some reason, why would you go to someone that failed in their marriage to try to draw that wise counsel from them? It's just not a good idea. It's like going to a fat person for advice on working out, okay, or something like that. So, don't ask the most backslidden person in the church advice about church life. You know, if someone that doesn't come but once every month, you know, and I'm like, I'm not mad at you for not coming or that you come every month. You should be three to thrive, though, if you can be. If you go to church with all your might, I think I heard a sermon about going to church with all your might. You know, make sure you bring a Bible with you. But you don't want to go to the most backslidden member in the church to get spiritual advice, I would say. I mean, does that make sense? That's pretty basic stuff. So, you know, I know you haven't been in church for 3 weeks, but what do you think about the, you know, don't ask that person. Go to the person that you would see as more spiritual and ask them. And obviously you have your pastor as a resource and, you know, definitely some great men of God in this church you can go to for advice. And definitely don't go to the preaching of a false prophet. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. The things that were happening back in Bible times are the same things that we see happen today. You know, you think about the woman that was, you know, had spent all of her money and all of her living on physicians. Guess what? People still do the same thing today. They go to the physicians and they drain them dry and they're still not healed, right? Those things still happen today. But you know what? People were still going to false prophets and listening to false prophets back in the day, just like they are now. But today, it's even worse. It's like they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's what the Bible says in the last times. And you know what? We're in the last times. So look what Jeremiah 5, verse 31 says. It says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? My people love to have it so. So what does that tell you right there? That God's people, actually saved people, do go and listen to false prophets. And why? Because they want to hear what they're saying, because what they're saying is not right. They want to live their life the way the false prophets are telling them to live instead of how God's telling them to live. They love to have it so. That's why they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You ever wonder why someone defends a false prophet that probably is saved? It's because they're listening to what they want to hear instead of what they should hear. And that's why you need to make sure to go to the right people. When you're going to go and get counsel, go to the right people. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So don't go to the world. Be not conformed with this world. Don't go to the world for your advice. Go to God for his advice. Go to good friends that have sound doctrine and sound beliefs. And go to your pastor or your other resources that are spiritual in your life for your advice. All right? So, number two, getting wisdom when it's given. So, it's not just important to go to the right people for your advice. It's also important to get that advice and receive it unto yourselves. You know, a lot of people are hearers, you know, they're not doers. They hear the word of God but don't do it. They immediately walk away and forget what manner of man they were. And it's important that once we get advice and once we get counsel from somebody that we apply it to our lives and we take that and receive that wisdom and that knowledge. So turn to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. See, God counsels us to go get counsel. Look what it says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto wise counsel. He that hearkeneth unto wise counsel. You're supposed to hearken unto it. You're supposed to receive it. Listen and receive it. So that's very important to get. So once you hear the wise counsel, you hearken to it. And then Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, it says, get wisdom. See, it's not just go for wisdom, but get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So God tells us to get it. Not just to go for it, but to get it. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. So it's like, get wisdom with all thy might. With everything you can do, get wisdom. You need to get it. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So don't just go for it, but get it. And use it. You know, some people get it, but they just ignore it. They go for it and they ignore it. And they don't get it. You ever heard that saying? They just don't get it. That's true. You know, have you heard that saying? It just goes right over their head. You tell somebody something, just goes right over their head. That's kind of like going for wisdom, but then not receiving it. You're not getting it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. So what are we talking about? We're talking about getting that wisdom. Not just going for the wisdom, but getting that wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction. Hear counsel. You hear it and receive it. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know, and we should be prepared for the end of our life to some extent. You know, and I'm preaching to myself, of course, at this second because I don't even have a will. Man, I'm bad. So, but if I die, just you're my witnesses right now that everything goes through my wife. So, all right. So if anybody, the kids want to fight for anything I don't have anyway, then you can have the $5 in my pocket, honey. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, look, we got to receive wisdom. We got to receive instruction. We got to hear that counsel. Be wise in thy latter end. And, you know, it's really unfortunate today living in the United States of America because really the way that you can save for your retirement is to play the stock market. So it really makes it difficult. Every angle in our society is just ungodly pretty much. It's really difficult to save and be wise in thy latter end in that way. You know, it's like, hey, should I put more money towards my 401k? A bunch of Jews on Wall Street that just want to rob our savings and things, you know, whenever they get a chance. Do you think that the people on Wall Street are godly? Probably not. Like, they probably love money. They probably love ripping people off, and they love suckering people. So it's really difficult. But you know what? The Bible says that God's going to take care of us anyway. So, but should we be wise to our latter end? I think we should. We should do what we can to at least give our children an inheritance and make sure our wives are taken care of, right? So turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And that's where you have to look at this angle. That you the way when we think of a decision, we think of a lot of different things, but you don't always think of the angle that's not, that angle you don't see. That's why you have to have people to help you protect that blind spot that you have. It says, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So it's good to go, especially for a big decision, to a multitude of counselors. I have people that I trust that I go to counsel for if I have a big decision and I'm just kind of need some extra advice. I'll go to my pastor friends, I'll go to friends that I have in the church that, that I trust their advice. And it says in the multitude of counselors, those purposes are going to be established. And so, if you go to God's word for counsel, don't take what, you're supposed to take what the Bible says to heart. And if you don't do that, it's obviously not going to help you. You have to take God's word to heart or it's not going to help you in the wisdom department. So, but if you ask your pastor for advice about moving for a job or marrying a divorced person or moving to a place with no good church, you should expect something from the Bible that they're going to say to you, right? And this is, people like to opinion shop. They really do. And look, and I don't want to discourage people from going to pastors. I don't want my people to be discouraged about coming to me about stuff. But hey, if you don't plan on listening to anything I have to say, maybe you should just ask somebody else. Because you know what's really frustrating for pastors? I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. Is when you come to them for counsel and they completely ignore everything that you said. It is frustrating. And then you just have to sit there and watch their life unravel because they didn't listen to the counsel. And it's not like it's my counsel. When someone comes to me about a situation like that, you know what I do? I open up the Bible and I tell them what the Bible says and then let them make that decision. But it really is hurtful for me to watch people that I love, destroy themselves because they won't listen to the counsel of God. So, or any unbiblical position that people come to me with. And people come to me about marriage advice a lot. And they come to me about moving. They come to me about all kinds of things. They come to me I want people to come to me. Don't get me wrong. I want people to come to me for counsel. I don't want people to be shy to come to me. And look, you don't have to listen to me. If you don't think what I'm saying is biblical, then don't listen to me. What's the Bible say? That's what I'm going to tell you as a man of God. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And you can see this play out in Jeremiah chapter 42. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 42, where the people, the remnant of Israel, is left after the Babylonian captivity. And what are they asking him for? Moving advice. They're asking him for moving advice. You know, when people ask for, Pastor Shelley, do people ever ask you for moving advice?
All the time.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not just me. But this could be anything. This could be any advice that you ask the pastor for. Look at Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1. It says, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah and the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. So he's asking, they're coming to Jeremiah the prophet. Nobody's been listening to the Jeremiah the prophet for years. And he's been telling them everything that's going to happen to him. Now the things that he's been saying all these years finally happened to him. They're like, okay, we're going to go to Jeremiah the prophet. And it says, for we are left but a few of many as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. That's what a good man of God is supposed to do. Right? He's going to keep nothing back. He's going to answer whatever God says. Right? Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things to which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. So they're saying, we're going to do it. Before he even gives them their answer, they're saying, no matter what God says, that's what we're going to do. And that really should be our attitude. And it says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they're laying it on pretty thick. They're like, no, no matter what, we're going to listen. We're going to obey. Whatever God says, that's what we're going to do. And so then he tells them like 10 days later. So he prays about it. 10 days later, he tells them that if they move to Egypt, they're going to be destroyed. Just like the Babylonians destroyed the children of Israel. He tells them to stay in the land. He tells them that God's going to take care of them where they're at. Don't go to Egypt. And what is Egypt? Egypt is like a symbol of the world. And so if God says don't go to Egypt, he's basically saying, hey, you're going to get destroyed if you go to Egypt. Stay here. Let God take care of you. Listen and obey what God says, and goodness is going to happen to you. But look at what they say. Look at chapter 43, verse 1. Remember, they said they're going to obey him, right? Here's what they said. Here's what happens. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So what happens? They didn't get the answer that they wanted. And so what did they do? They told the preacher he's speaking falsely. And where did he get his answer from? Straight from God. So basically, what are they doing? They're spitting in God's face.
Yeah.
Don't go to the man of God for answers. He gives you the word of the Lord and tells you what the Bible says, and then you just spit in his face.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll still be there to pick up the pieces for you. You know, if people are going to make the wrong decisions. I've made the wrong decisions in my life. I've had to reap what I've sown. Everybody does. Some people are just more hard-headed than others. But ultimately, hey, you can still get it right. You can still have a second chance if you've messed up and done something you probably shouldn't have. But these guys are buttering Jeremiah up, but they just obviously don't think that that's what he's going to say. See, they already have it preconceived in their mind what they're going to do. This is what I call opinion shopping. And this is what people will do when they go to counsel for a bunch of people. They're like, okay, this is what Pastor Thompson said, this is what Pastor Shelley said, this is what Pastor Mejia said, this is what Pastor Andrew. I mean, if you're going to pastors, right? And then they want to go with the thing that they want to do in their heart already. And so that's not how we should get counsel. When we get counsel from somebody, and you know it's rock solid, but it goes against every fiber in your being, because look, if you're being led by the Spirit, you're gonna choose the spiritual thing. But if you're being led by the flesh to do something, then the flesh is gonna tell you that what that person's saying is not right. You see that? So look at verse, it says, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives in Babylon. So what ends up happening? They go to Egypt, and guess what happens to them? They get destroyed. You know, they were afraid of the king of Babylon, and then Jeremiah gets up there, and he says, this pavilion's going to be over the top of the very place that I hide these writings in. So, you know, they chose the wrong thing. They go against what God's word says, and what happens? They get destroyed. And so the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of wisdom. So, hey, we should get wisdom with all of our getting. Get as much as you can. Get it from God. Get it from people you trust. Get it from your pastor. And receive that. Get it. So, again, there's nothing more irritating than someone that comes to you for that wisdom and then they don't take it. It's annoying. But it doesn't mean I still don't love them. It's just hard to watch because you know what's gonna happen. You know what the Bible says is going to happen when people get away from him. It's going to be hard on their lives. So I've had people come to me and say, hey, you know, this person, that I really love this person, and I want to marry them, but they're divorced. And I'm like, okay, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Half those are probably women. Now, obviously, I wouldn't say that someone should go to an unsaved person, and you know, and obviously, I think that someone should believe like you. Just because someone's a, even, you know, if they're Christian, they're equally yoked, but some Christians don't agree on things, you know? So, and obviously Catholics will call themselves Christian, but some people will go to the, they just want to get married so bad that they'll go into the into a place where they shouldn't get somebody and try to marry that person. And they, because they think they can change them. But you know what's going to happen? That person's going to change you. If you're dating a woman and they're like, yeah, they're totally on board with the new IFB. They're totally, you know, believe everything I believe. But then they never come to church. That should be a red flag in your mind. Don't marry that person. Because you know what? If they do that in a green tree, what do you think they're going to do when they actually have you trapped? They know that you're trapped and they're going to just not go to church ever again. And believe me, it happens. In our circles, it does happen. You know, you hear all this preaching about don't, you know, marry people, don't be unequally yoked with people, and then people are just like, what do you think about me marrying this divorced person? What are you talking about? What did Jesus say? That if you marry a divorced woman, you're committing adultery.
Right.
So out of that 7 billion people, half of them are women. And then if you think maybe 2 or 3% of people are actually saved in this world, I mean, you still got, what, 760 million people, half that, 350,000. Well, this is, you know, professing Christians, I guess. I mean, even if you get it down to 10,000, you know, even if you get it down to 300, you know, if you say, I'm going to pick the girl that lappeth with her tongue, the water, and I'm only going to choose from this 300. You know, you still got 300. You know, and people are so, you know, they're so concerned about how someone looks all the time. Why don't you look, think about how they look on their heart? What are they like? You know, beauty is vain. I think I heard a sermon about that not too long ago. But it's true. Beauty is vain. So, you know, if you want the supermodel or whatever, or you want the Brad Pitt look-alike hunk or something, what are those people like in real life, though? You know, do you think that someone that's some lady that's a supermodel is like this godly Christian all the time? It's very rare. But think about who you should marry. Should it be a divorced person? You know, guess what I'm going to say to you? What do you think my advice was to the person? No! It's no. Should I move to a place where there's no good church? What do you think my answer is? Every time. It's always no. It's always no. So look, if you don't want my opinion on advice that I think that would be godly advice to you, don't ask me. Because if you're not willing to listen to it, then just ask somebody else that will tell you what they want. Just like Kent Hovind when he wanted to get remarried. He went to, what did he go to, like 7 pastors that he trusted, and they were his wise counsel, and they all told him it's okay to get remarried. Well, I want to know the names of those pastors so I can email them and tell them they're idiots and that they're morons. I think he's on marriage number 3 now. So, I mean, look, every time I've seen someone get remarried, it ends up tragic. I mean, I'm talking about when they know what the Bible says. They know it's wrong. It always ends up in a train wreck. So what's my advice? Marry someone that's equally yoked with you and they are on board with you and what you believe. And that's a good decision. And even then, marriage can still be tough, can't it? We believe the same thing. We believe, you know, that Jesus went to hell for 3 days and 3 nights like the Bible says. We believe that God really did die. We believe those things. But, you know, sometimes our marriages, you know, people just are, you know, sometimes they mix like oil and water. And some, you know, we have to get past our own personal conflicts with each other to have good marriage. So even if all the things line up perfectly, you can still have marriage problems. So think about how bad it would be to have marriage problems when you're married, when you marry outside of your faith. Well, she's Catholic, so that means she's Christian, so, you know, if I like her, then I'm going to put a ring on it, right? That's what people do. I've actually watched a guy, and I don't believe in giving unsolicited advice unless it's like a really serious danger for somebody. But I told this guy, he's like, yeah. I said, hey, you're getting married. That's cool. I was like, where does she go to church at? And he's like, oh, she's Episcopalian. And I was pretty young in the faith at that time, but I knew better than to marry an Episcopalian. My wife's a Baptist, amen. But anyway, I just was like, man, you know, they're not really Christians, right? He's like, oh, no, she says she's saved, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, every time she drinks the juice or the wine and eats the wafer, she's saved, right? But they end up having terrible marriage problems. I mean, and thank God they're still married today. I think maybe she ended up getting saved. But that's not always the optimal situation. You know, to go through literal terrible marriage counseling and bad, super huge battles because they're not really on board with what you think. So when you get your counsel, receive that counsel. When you go to that person and that's good counsel, receive that counsel. So what I hear when people say that they're going to do something opposite of what I've told them to do from the Bible or what I advise them to do, here's what I hear. Pastor Thompson, thou speakest falsely. That's what I hear. You know, thou speakest falsely. You know, God didn't send you to tell me that. Well, hey, yeah, I know you came to me, remember? That's the part that they don't, you know, they're like, you know, Baruch the son of Neriah setteth on thee against us. Well, is that what happened? Because it sounds to me like they came to Jeremiah groveling on their hands and knees, basically, to get his opinion. So, I had a lady call me one time and said, should I divorce my spouse if they're a reprobate? Pastor Perry said that it was okay. So here's the thing. Go to wise counsel. I mean, he literally preached a sermon where he said it's okay to divorce somebody if they're a reprobate. Is that what the Bible says? Was Abigail married to a reprobate before she married David? She stayed married to him. She knew he was a reprobate. But she still stayed married to him, didn't she?
Yeah.
Because there's no verse that says, except they be reprobate. Hey, choose the right spouse.
Yeah.
That's the point. Right. I mean, I'm really harping on this right now because I think it's a big problem in churches like ours where people just, you know, they know what the preaching says, they know what the Bible says, but yet they choose the other route. Yep. Why? Because they want people, the heart wants what it wants. Love is love. Stupid. So when people say they're not going to listen to my advice, then I just feel like they're saying, Pastor Thompson, thou speakest falsely. But I had to talk them off. Do I think that person should stay living with that reprobate if they're like a fag? No, I don't. And that's when you would just separate from them. But it doesn't say to divorce them. Separate from them. Here's what I told. Here's my advice. Let me ask you if you think this is solid advice. Leave that person. Don't let them around your kids because the guy was a fag. And pray that every day that he dies. There's some good advice. I thought it was good advice. Do you think it's good advice? How about you take Pastor Perry's advice? Which is not biblical. Which we found in the last couple years is he's got a lot of things that he's unbiblical about. So, number three this morning, this last my last point, giving solicited or unsolicited counsel. Giving solicited or unsolicited counsel. So, let me say this, though. When someone's, like I said, in a position where they're, like say their kid's about to like fall off of something. You know, I think it's okay for you to say, hey, your kid's playing on the electric fence, or, you know, your kid's playing, you know, they're inside the baptistry and they're swimming right now. I mean, I think that's okay to tell the parents about. That's unsolicited advice. Hey, maybe you should watch your kid. But, you know, you can be tactful about it. But turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 30. Luke chapter 6, verse number 30. And I realize this isn't exactly perfectly in context as how I'm going to say it, but it the principle applies. Luke 6:30, it says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee." Give to every man that... So if someone asks you for your advice, you should give it to them. Now, this is talking mainly probably about, you know, things that people want to borrow or lend them money or whatever it says. But it says, if a man asks you, then give him the advice. So that's a pretty good principle to follow, though. Because there's these advice people that love to just run around and tell everybody what they think about everything. You know what I'm talking about? So there's people that want to give medical advice about everything. They're the medical doctors, MDs on Facebook. And they know every, you know, essential oil that's going to heal every ailment that they have. Okay? But then you also have, you know, there's just people that want to just spout off on the mouth about every single thing. And I just don't think that's wise. I don't think it's your business to get into other people's business about everything that they do. So even if you think that the apple cider vinegar is going to cure the ailment, you know, whatever ailment that is, because from what I know, the internet told me that apple cider vinegar heals every single ailment that you have. Have you guys heard this?
Yeah.
I mean, heartburn. But here's one thing it doesn't heal, your teeth.
Yeah.
Okay? You know what? It'll burn the enamel right off your teeth. So if you're drinking apple cider vinegar and you think Pastor Aaron Thompson's a moron, I know Pastor Thompson, the apple cider vinegar heals everything. It's like Windex. You know, Windex heals every ailment. But there's a lot of snake oils out there, isn't there? But here's the thing. I'm not saying natural things don't help. They do help. They can help and be helpful. But if you don't really know, if you just got your information when you Googled it real quick, there's a lot of doctors that do that too. They Google your, hey, it's sore throat. Okay, I think you have strep throat. Google, I mean, WebMD told me. So look, we need to be slow to speak. Sometimes, you know, your MD card needs to just stay with you. Put it in your back pocket. You don't need to tell everybody everything you know, because maybe you don't know as much as you think you know. Because if you really think that apple cider vinegar heals every single ailment, then I have some news for you. I don't think it does. Because like I was telling you about my daughter who, you know, she tried apple cider vinegar. And guess what? It didn't work. They're like, well, you know, she just wasn't doing it right. She was doing everything that she could do, okay? She's probably going to be mad at me for telling this story. But eventually, she had to get her gallbladder taken out, which is what I told her to do over a month ago. So, I mean, we can go to the internet and find anything that we want. Everything is true on there, right? You guys know Bigfoot lives in Washington State? Have you guys heard about that? The internet, you know, is not... the internet's a great resource, and you can learn a lot of things. But you should spare your opinion on stuff, especially if people don't ask you for it. So the Bible says right here in Luke 6:31, it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So however you want to be treated, that's how you should treat other people. If you don't like people telling you what to do, then maybe you shouldn't tell them what to do. You think about that for a second? Turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. And I always like to walk on this side for some reason. I think it's because at our church, like, I'll trip over stuff if I come over here. So I'm sorry. I'll come over here for a second. All right, good. All right. I'm trying to break some cycles of my preaching here. All right, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Bible says, "He that hath knowledge spareth words." He that hath knowledge. Hey, you got a lot of knowledge? The Bible says you should spare your words. Right? "And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise." So you could be a big dummy, and if you just keep your mouth shut, people will think you're smarter than you really are. Basically, is what that's saying, right? "And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Hey, if your opinion doesn't flow out of your mouth, then people aren't going to think you're stupid if you're giving stupid advice. And so just realize it's not always your place to say something to people too. Why don't you let them go to the right people? You know, if you're concerned about them, go to them, you know, by all means. You know, and sometimes people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and you can go to that person with a meek spirit and just kind of just help that person. Sometimes people need to be rebuked. I understand that. But I'm talking about giving unsolicited advice or giving it giving solicited or unsolicited advice. If someone doesn't ask you, if it's solicited, that means someone asks you, hey, can you give me some advice about this? And then you're like, yeah. Sometimes it's even good to not give it if you don't know what you're talking about. Say, hey, you know, I know you want my advice on this, but I really am not an expert on cars. Maybe you should talk to Brother CJ. And Brother CJ goes to our church, and he knows a lot about cars. So if they ask me, their car is going to be a piece of junk by the time they get done with it because I know nothing. I can barely change a windshield wiper. As a matter of fact, I drive it to the auto parts place and have them change it for me. Because it's faster, right? I'm all about that speed. Speed kills. No. All right, so, but look, you know, in this country, we have the freedom of speech. And that emboldens people to say more sometimes than they really ought to. But you know, you have the freedom of speech, but you don't always have the right to be heard. People don't have to listen to you. You know, on YouTube, people don't have to listen to what they don't want to listen to. That's a great thing about it is you can go and watch what you want on there. You know, except for if you want to watch somebody ripping fags to shreds, then of course it's hard to find that stuff, right? So, look, if you spare your words, you hold your peace, you shut your mouth, you're going to look more wise than most people. And when someone asks you for your advice or your opinion on something, that's when it's time to give your wisdom and knowledge if you have it. Does that make sense? Does that principle make sense? But if someone doesn't want your opinion, then keep your duck lips shut. Keep your, what do they call it when girls do this in their selfie pictures? The fish gape. Keep your fish gape shut. Keep your duck lips quiet. Men, keep your mouth shut. If someone doesn't ask you, then you don't have to tell them. Well, wait, no. No, shut up. Quit telling them. They don't want to hear it. You know, if you're the person that's the WebMD of the church, then, you know, if people don't want to hear your advice, then don't tell it to them. If people don't want to hear your marriage advice when you've been divorced 3 times, then, you know, just be quiet. If they want your advice, they're going to ask you for it. And if you do want to give someone advice because you really feel like you do have something that can help them, then give them that advice, but first ask them if you could give it to them. I mean, that's a good thing to do, don't you think? I mean, if you ask, hey, would you care if I gave you some unsolicited advice? I've done that because I felt like the need was dire, but I don't do it a lot. Like, I was just saying earlier that we're not a cult. You know, there's no speakers in my church members' houses that have like an alarm to say, dee, 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 time to go to church. The call to church. It's time to go to church. You know, that's what cult members do. That's what, my wife went and did a CPR class for this. They're called Anabaptists, but they are a cult. I mean, basically, she went to teach the class, and that, like, they got the pastor or their leader got on the loudspeaker and told them they have speakers inside their homes. And the pastor, or what was he, a pastor? You can just nod your head, yes, okay. Don't you speak in the church, no. But he literally got on the loudspeakers and told everybody to come to the class. How weird would that be? That's a cult. If the pastor can get into your house and speak without you having to click on a YouTube video, you're in a cult. All right? So, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3. And you don't have oh, you do have a clock, Pastor Shelley. Cool. All right. I got like 2 hours left. Oh, look at this one. That's even better. Nice. When I'm at work, sometimes people will tell me, like if I'm the crew leader, someone will tell me like, hey, you should do it like this and this. You know what I tell them? If I want your advice, I'll beat it out of you. So anyway, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Look, it's not our business to meddle in other people's affairs. We're not supposed to be going in and trying to meddle with everybody's lives. It says every fool will be meddling. Don't be a meddler. And I would say this especially for parents and grandparents of newly married couples. I think it's super wicked for you to get involved in your children's marriage and choose sides. And look, people that are newly married, don't bring your parents into your marriage.
Right.
Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to have, if it's the wife asking advice or whatever from the parents or talking badly about their husband, they're going to hate your husband. And then you're going to do irreparable damage to your marriage because they can't keep their mouths shut to their own parents. What's the Bible say? Leave and cleave, right? That means once you're gone, you're gone. You're not accountable to your parents anymore. And if you're a parent, it's none of your business what goes on in their marriage. Maybe you should have done your due diligence and found out whether that person was good or not. But you know, once they're married, it's too late. So keep out of marriages. And I would think that this would be like par for the course in churches like ours, but I've seen it where parents get involved in their kids' lives where they don't belong, and it causes damage. Don't do it. And if you're, there's all ages in this church, hey, just know that this is a truth that's found in the Bible from the very beginning. Leave and cleave. Bye-bye. It's time for me to start my own life with my own family. And because families getting into your marriage can cause a lot of problems. And I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands, but I know that hands would raise all around this building if I was to ask if you ever had any family members get into your marriage and cause problems. I mean, I could just see it in your head, in your faces. You're like, oh, I want to raise my hand right now. My mother-in-law needs to shut up. No. And it is hard sometimes, like when you see your kids making mistakes, because like my kids are all married except for Josh, you know. We got to tie a pork chop around the dog's neck so he'll play with Josh, but I'm just kidding. He's a good kid. But, we see our kids sometimes making mistakes, but you know what? They're not making as bad as mistakes as we did. And so I believe the Bible, and I believe it's not my job to run my children's marriages. You know, and even if I see them making a mistake, you know, if I did think it was a really bad mistake, I probably would entreat them and go to them and just say, hey, you know, I want to give you some advice. Would you be willing to listen? I will do that. I have done that, but it's very rare. And you know why? Because I don't want to meddle in my children's lives like that. And as long as they're doing right, we're going to have problems. You know, I used to have a pastor that I thought him and his wife never fought, but it's not true. You know, if you're the person, the diamond in the rough, the one person that you've never been in a fight with your spouse for your whole marriage, come forward right now. Because you need to step up to an old-fashioned, oh no, I'm just kidding. You need to get your heart right with Jesus. I told this story the other day in my church, but we're not in my church, so I'll tell it again. So I had a pastor a couple churches ago, and before we started our church, and he said he went to Hiles Anderson Baptist College, and he said that his professor in Bible college said, you know, me and my wife never fight. And so he's like, you know, newly married, and he's like, man, what's wrong with me? Why do we always fight so much? You know, we're just having all these problems. He's like, I'm a failure. And so then later on, like maybe a couple weeks later, he saw him and his wife next to their car in the parking lot fighting. And he's like, uh-huh, never fights, huh? And so like he waited, of course, for a better opportunity to talk to me. He's like, I thought you said you and your wife never fight, huh? And he's like, that wasn't a fight, that was just a tiff. A tiff is a fight, okay? If you're yelling back and forth, that is a fight, okay? So we're going to fight sometimes. But hey, here's some good advice. Stay out of other people's marriages. And again, the caveat would be if you feel someone's harming themselves or, you know, then try to give them some advice, but ask them first. Let's look at Exodus chapter 18, verse number 13. Exodus 18, verse number 13. Now, this is a story about how Moses' father-in-law came to visit him, and he was watching how Moses did his daily ministration, where he's basically sitting from the time he gets up in the morning till the evening time, and he's judging what people are coming to him for wisdom, aren't they? And so he's counseling people, and then his father-in-law sees that it's wearing, he's going to just wear away. Because, look, I mean, people might think the pastor's job is easy, but it feels like from the morning the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, that you're always constantly doing ministry. And whether it's just like talking to someone on the phone, giving them counsel or whatever, but pastors, you've got to be careful because, you know, we can wear away. And this is what Jethro saw Moses doing. Look at verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, 'The thing that thou doest is not good.'" So he's giving him unsolicited advice, okay? But look who he is. He's his father-in-law, and it's not about his marriage. It's about something he is trying to help him. Now, and in this situation, he's right to do it because Moses is in a situation where he's going to burn himself out, and he's trying to help him with something he thinks is a dire need here. It says, "Moses' father-in-law said, 'The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou will surely wear away, both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice.'" Listen to what I'm saying to you, Moses. "I will give thee counsel. So will you listen to me, and I will give you counsel?" So he does ask him. And he says, "And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness," "and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." And so he's basically helping Moses to get a structure and a system that can help him, because he's literally just night and day giving advice and helping people. So literally he's giving him advice on giving people advice, isn't he? That's kind of what's going on here. It says, "And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And so what did Moses do? He listened to sound advice and sound counsel from his father-in-law. And you know, it helped him. I'm sure that probably took years, added years unto his life, because it said he was going to wear away. And I think he was right. See, you can get so overburdened with ministry that you don't spend time with your family, or you don't, spend time with your wife. You don't spend time with your children. And that's not a good place to be. So I think it's right that the men of God will divide up the workload onto other people. And I'm pretty sure that happens here. I'm positive that happens here. It happens at my church. You know, when I went full-time, because I'm full-time right now, which is a blessing, amen. I thank you for praying for that. I really appreciate it. That was a hard decision. I went to counsel with people over it, several people. And, I feel like I made the right choice to go full-time. But, and I forgot where I was even going with that. Somebody help me out? Huh? Oh, delegating work, yeah. So, but when I, thank you, I appreciate that. I'm getting old, right? So when it comes to delegating work, you know, as soon as I went full time, I knew this was going to happen, though. I prepared my heart for it. Like, hey, since you're full time now, so do you want to start doing this? No. I was working 2.5 jobs while I was doing all this other stuff before, so now I'm just trying to, and now I have a backlog of things that needs to get taken care of. And so I got plenty of stuff to do, so I was like, you know, how would that help me if I went full time and then took on everything that everybody else was doing? That'd be difficult, wouldn't it? That'd be stupid on my part. So I just cut that head off immediately as soon as it started to appear. But hey, do you want to take the trash out now? No. That's your job. You keep doing it. All right. So anyway. So I just want to close the sermon off here. But before I do, I know I talked a lot about the medical advice thing, but the reason why it's such a big deal is because literally if you don't know what you're talking about, it could be a life or death situation. You could be telling something that you got something off the internet, and what you're telling them could literally put their life at risk. You know, I saw one video where some lady claimed that she had the cure for strep throat. Well, you know, doctors been trying to do that for a long time. So I think it's very cringy to see someone put up a YouTube video that says, I have the cure for strep throat. Oh, really? Well, you know, lots of science doctors would like to know exactly where you got that cure from. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to tell somebody that you have this answer that might put them at risk. Cayenne pepper apparently is the new snake oil. I don't know if you guys have heard of cayenne pepper before. And I'm not saying it doesn't have great properties and purposes in life. But like when I just Googled it last night, of course, you know, because Google is my MD. But when I Googled it, it had like 15 things that cayenne pepper does for you. And literally this lady, and look, God bless her. I know she meant well probably. But somebody's mom was like, or grandma was having a heart attack or something, and they asked for prayer on the pray for my grandma, she just had a heart attack. And then somebody says, take a scoop of cayenne pepper and go and run and stick it underneath her tongue. Well, I mean, you know, what would happen if someone would have actually done that? I mean, we don't know. Maybe it would have shocked her right into life. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But here's what I do know, that I would never give that advice to somebody. I mean, if someone's saying, hey, please pray for me, what do you think is going to help more? The power of prayer from God, or a scoop of cayenne pepper? You know what cayenne pepper does? Like, you can make dogs lose their scent from it. It's that powerful. So if you put if I put cayenne pepper under my tongue right now, it goes straight to the bloodstream, and I would just probably turn red and die of a heart attack. So hot, spicy things can make you have a heart attack. Did anybody know that? Like, it's not recommended if you have a bad heart to eat a lot of spicy food. So like, when you have a heart attack, and then you tell somebody, here, put this stuff that will cause an instant heart attack under someone's tongue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say that I'm not against natural medicine. And I'm not against Western medicine either. I'm in the middle. And sometimes we get too extreme on certain things, and then we want to just give our advice because we checked it out on naturalnews.com, and they said it's true. So just be, I mean, again, just go to those principles. Should I be saying this to somebody? Should I just shut my lips and be counted wise? You know, those are things that we should think about before we give unsolicited medical advice. Because I don't see anybody with stethoscopes on in here. I don't see any doctors. I mean, if you're a doctor in the building, you know, obviously you're not going to wear your stethoscope to church. But some people might. No. But like, look. Cayenne pepper, essential oils, coconut oil, apple cider vinegar. You know, if you had to take all those things just to survive every day, you know, you'd be taking a lot of stuff. I didn't even mention everything. I mean, think about that. Do you actually take all that stuff every day? Yep, I do. Well, how do you feel? You must feel great. But you know, the thing I've noticed is the people that are mostly like that are the most unhealthy people I see. So, and look, I'm not trying to get on to you. If you like, you know, obviously this is probably not a very popular part of the sermon, but you know what? What hard preaching is when you hear things that you need to hear. And you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, you're a moron. Thou speakest falsely. Well, I'm just saying, think about things before you do them, before you give someone advice that's unsolicited. You know, think about what you're saying, okay? So number one, go to the right people for your advice. Number two, get the advice and actually take it. Number three, make sure that you're asking before you give somebody advice, and don't give unsolicited advice unless you ask, all right? So that's the sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for Steadfast Baptist Church. I pray it'd be a beacon of light and hope in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for many, many years to come. Pray you bless Pastor Shelley and his ministry and his wife and his family and every single person and individual in this room, Lord. There's many people in here, my dear friends, and I love them. And I pray that you'd bless their lives, help them. Help us to go to you, Lord, first of all, for our advice and for our wisdom and knowledge, first of all. And then, Lord, help us to surround ourselves with people that are wise also and can help us with our knowledge. Help us to guard our tongues and not to say things we shouldn't say to people when it's not our business to do so. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.